A happy Mother's Day to all the mothers watching. Today's passage is John 19. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Father, I thank you for all the mothers watching. Lord, help us to lift them up and really honour them today. Thank you for all the love that they've given us. And I pray today that we can give that same love back to them. Lord, I pray for Pastor David. I just pray that your Holy Spirit will be with him. I pray, Lord, that you help us to hear and understand what you're saying through your word today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Jonathan, and welcome everyone. On this special Mother's Day, as Becca said right at the start, we're going to pause from our Elijah series, and we're going to just have a chance to really press into this wonderful passage that was just read for us. You know, Mother's Day brings back many memories for us, memories of our mums. I know I've certainly been remembering special moments with my mum over the years, this week and even this morning. And I know, too, that for mums, it will bring back special memories of your children and of times with them over the years. And perhaps it is also a time when we remember kind of Mother's Days of the past, and maybe particularly last year, which was kind of one of those very poignant times as the impact of COVID was just beginning to be felt. But, you know, with our memories, there is much joy, thankfulness for those that God has put in our lives. But there will also, too, be pain. There'll be memories of hard times, of loss, memories of brokenness that in varying ways affects every family. You know, every family is affected not just by brokenness within their family, but by the brokenness and sin of others around them in our world. And for some families, that pain and brokenness is very public, as we've been hearing so much in the news right the way through this week in different ways. But it is also true that the brokenness and pain for most people is often very hidden, but no less real. Now, the scene in our passage today has much pain, and yet there is also much that is beautiful and wonderful. And I want us, as it were, this morning to come near the cross. These are the words that our passage starts with. So will you lean in with me as we just look at firstly at verse 25. It says here, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Can you see this mother here in our passage, experiencing maybe one of the hardest moments any mother can face? This mother had held her newborn son 33 years before this moment. When he was just 8 years old, 8 days old, she had carried him into the temple and there met a man called Simeon, a really spiritual man who'd taken the baby in his arms and spoken some amazing truths over this baby. But then he had spoken to her. And this is what he had said to Mary. He had said, "A sword will pierce your own soul." And this was that moment. She realized that now. This was agony. This was the moment where she realized that so much of what had been spoken over her son was true. But I'm sure there was much she still didn't understand. We were reading, many of us, in the Bible in 1 year this morning, the amazing way that Mary responded to the angel Gabriel, who came and spoken such a remarkable words to her. And Mary's response was this, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." You know, Jesus' mum was an amazing, remarkable woman. Most mums are amazing. And so here's the first point I want us to see this morning. Remember your mum. remember your mum. You know, verse 25, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. You know, I want to honour today mums who are just so remarkable. Mums like this mum of Jesus, mums like these women in this verses. You know, when so many abandoned Jesus, denied him, shouted out for him to be crucified, it is these women who have so faithfully stood there with him. You know, isn't that so like our mums, so often faithfully there in challenging times? And Jesus' mum wasn't there on her own. One of the things I love about this passage is you see Jesus' mum in this very difficult time, she has brave, courageous, godly women standing with her. You know, this past week, as Becca said, we've had International Women's Day. And we've also, as the week has gone on, seen women standing with one another through just some of the challenges that, you know, so unfortunately they face. And I want to just say that we also stand with you, men and women. Let us stand together. Let's stand against all that is done in violence and all that dishonors Christ and dishonors others. And let's stand and respect one another. Let's stand and honor those around us. Let's honor the women who do such remarkable things. You know, I want to honor the women of our church who are so faithful in serving God and courageous in standing for him. And so often I want to honor the way they stand with one another as well. You know, Jesus' mom had her sister and friends with her. And, you know, in parenting particularly, it can be challenging. We need sisters and mums and friends to stand with us. You know, I know that one of the wonderful things that has blessed us as a family is just having others stand with us in our parenting. And there's a fantastic course that has been running now a couple of times. It's partway through the second course, the Parenting for Faith course. But another course is about to start after Easter on April the 19th. It will be online. It's an 8-week course. And if you have children in your life, then this course will really help you to help them in their faith. And you can find out more with that link on the screen, hrbc.org.uk/parenting. So remember your mum. Remember your mum. It's Mother's Day today. So I'm guessing there's nothing that radical in that. But I want to say this, that many of us sort of do that when it's kind of convenient for us, or maybe we're reminded by a day like this. But I want to see something here that Jesus does. You know, he is in a moment of excruciating pain and kind of overwhelming circumstances in his life. The word excruciating actually finds its root in the word crucifixion. And the last 24 hours have been agony for Jesus, mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. You know, he is surrounded by brutality. And yet in that context, he remembers his mum. He notices her. When he could have been preoccupied with what he was going through, he notices his mum. It says in verse 25, when Jesus saw his mum. You know, caring starts with seeing. And appreciating starts with noticing. What do you see? What do you notice? You know, Jesus' eyes, as Duncan Campbell writes, fell upon the face they had first looked into when they came into the world. And he saw something of the pain that she was going through, not just what he was going through. And as Jesus notices her, he speaks to her. And as we see and notice the sacrifice of our mums and of others in our lives who make sacrifices to care for us, we can speak into their lives. We can write to them or text them. You know, I wonder, have you seen and noticed the sacrifices your mum has made for you over the years? And have you told her thanks? Have you kind of sent a text or a card or a message? You know, if you can today, have you called your mum and said thanks? You know, in all that Jesus was going through, Jesus remembered his mum. He spoke tenderly to her with honor and compassion and care. He thought not just about his own welfare, but about her welfare. But there's something even more radical than Jesus remembering his mum here in this passage. Something even more wonderful that we're going to see in verse 26 and 27. We're going to see a shift in the focus from the mother of Jesus and these women around her. The focus is going to become Jesus, his mother, and another man, a disciple whom Jesus loved. That's Jesus' way of referring to John, the author of this gospel. And I want just to help us here as we move into verses 20, 26 and 27. I want to show you a painting. It's a painting that my mother-in-law loves. She loves her art. She's an artist herself and has done over the years tours at the National Gallery for people. And this is her favorite picture of the kind of crucifixion with Mary in it. And it's of Mary and John at the feet of Jesus. It's by Antonio da Messina, painted in 1475, and it's hanging in the National Gallery. And, you know, one of the things my mother-in-law has done many times, particularly through Lent, is reflect on the life of Mary. And she wrote this little sort of reflection from the perspective of Mary, which I've asked my wife, Laura, to come and read for us. Thank you, Laura.
There was so much I didn't understand. I made the journey to Jerusalem on my own this time and found the other women staying just outside the wall. They had been watching and following everything that was going on, and they were very worried. That Thursday night, I didn't sleep, but I prayed all night for my dear child. And the next morning, we heard the terrible news that he was going to be killed. We went out to the hill they use and arrived just as they'd hoisted the cross. My precious one, pinned, pained, mocked and abused. I was down on the ground, hardly able to breathe. I heard him say something and looked up at him. "Mother, your son. John, your mother," he said. John was standing next to me and caught me as I fell backwards, all strength gone.
Thanks, Laura. You know, this is what we read in John 19, 26 and 27. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Again, can you see and pause and imagine that picture? And can you see here not just Jesus remembering his mum, but Jesus wanting his disciple and us as his disciples to remember our family. Remember your family. You know, Jesus isn't just here remembering his mum. He's wanting his friend, his friend who he loves deeply, John. He's wanting him to remember his mum as if she was John's mum. Jesus here is redefining family beyond the definition we usually use, beyond flesh and blood. You know, remembering your mum isn't just about your mum. There may be others whom God has put close to you for whom you need to take care of like they were your mum. In fact, that's not radical enough. You know, it's to care for them as your mum. What did that mean for John? Well, we see in verse 27 that he took care of her. He provided for her love and support. He brought her into his home. You know, I've been wondering as I've been preparing this, you know, why Jesus didn't entrust the care of his mum to maybe some of his other siblings, like his brother James or others. You know, and there may be all kinds of reasons for that. But could it be that one of them was that he was deliberately trying to redefine family in a broader sense that he'd already taught into at numerous times? You know, this is a picture here of what Jesus spoke about back in Luke 8, verses 20 and 21. He said this, you know, someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." And he replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." You know, seeing those who ordinarily aren't mothers and brothers and sisters as our mothers and brothers and sisters is what Jesus is encouraging us to do as he did. You know, it is what God spoke through the Psalms in the Old Testament, this encouragement that God sets the lonely in families in Psalm 68, verse 6. You know, it is what we see in John's life as he reflects on Jesus' teaching. We can see him time and again in his writings and particularly in his letters. He writes so affectionately to people and churches as if they are his family. Look at some of these bits from 1 John chapter 2 and then from chapter 4. In chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "My dear children," such a typical phrase that John uses, "my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." And then in 1 John 4, verse 21, he writes this, "And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." This is the view of how we're to see one another as family. The church is family. And, you know, part of our vision as a church, as we seek to raise the next generation, is to help them see and understand and experience church as extended family, to learn to see others as brothers and sisters, grandmothers, aunts, uncles, family. You know, and our community groups, over 20 of them scattered across this city, are a key part to helping us see the outworking of that. And Vanessa is just going to share something of her story as someone coming into the Holland Road church family. Thanks, Vanessa.
Ancestor, you're all descendants of God. When I moved to Brighton 6 years ago, I found a family at Holland Road Church. All my family lives in Brazil, and I miss them a lot. I miss their family meals, kisses, hugs, even the family dramas. When I moved to Brighton, I was feeling very lonely and craving for the family feeling. So when I started coming to the church, I always heard people saying to me, "Now you're part of Holland Road family." I couldn't understand what they mean when they say that. To me, family, it was only blood relatives. And I couldn't, how someone who never met me before were willing to accept me as part of a family, of their family. So I joined the community and I start to understand what do they mean. We are brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ. And we share the Bible. That is love to everyone. I got new family here with brothers, sisters, nephews and nieces that I love a lot. And I was not feeling lonely anymore. I understood what God's family is, caring, supportive, and always willing to share their love. I understood family is not only your blood relatives, or people that you love anywhere in the world. All my love to Holland Road Church.
Thanks, Vanessa. The blessing flows, you know, both ways in this family. We're blessed by one another. I know we as a family have been so blessed by Vanessa and by so many others. And I know, too, that not just does blessing flow both ways in the family, but also the cost. You know, it takes sacrifices to love like this. And I want to honor the many in our church family who have been looking out for others, whether caring for those who are older or younger, whether caring for those who are older in the sort of age or in faith, or younger in age or faith. You know, this has been a challenging year, yet I've been so encouraged the way the church has been looking out for one another. You know, the love that God showed to us that we need to show to one another gives and makes sacrifices, not just for our nuclear family, but for the family of God, our spiritual family as well. You know, so maybe you've contacted your mum already today. But is there someone else that you need to remember, a kind of another mum, as it were, another that God has been calling you to look out for and care for, to remember, to draw you in, draw them into your family? You know, is there someone else that you need to contact today to remember or pray for? I love the way the Apostle Paul picks up on this kind of same theme in 1 Timothy 5, verse 1 and 2. He says this: "Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity." And I just want to pause here and speak to the men just for a moment. Men, it is so important in these days that we not just ourselves make sure that we honor and treat the women around us, whether at work or at church or in family or in the neighborhood, with respect and care, but that we inspire and set examples and challenge others around us to do the same. This is what it means to be followers of Jesus. This is what he calls us, to see people differently. And so may God help us do that, to help us, yes, remember our mom today, but remember your family. And this doesn't mean placing less emphasis on a nuclear family. Christ elevates the care of both our immediate family, but also our church family. And how is this possible? You know, how can we love each other like family? Well, in conclusion, I want to encourage you to come back like we started right at the beginning of this reading in John 19. Come near the cross. It is as we come near the cross that we see that Jesus not just cares for his mum, but that Jesus is caring for us all. You know, as we come near the cross, we see that just as Jesus wanted his mum to have a family and care for her earthly life, Jesus wants all of us to come into his family, to be with him in his home forever. How is that possible? Well, he makes it possible through what he does on the cross, as he makes an amazing sacrifice for you and for me, a sacrifice where he pays for my sin and for your sin, for the brokenness in my life and in your life. And as he invites us to come and know his love and grace, this love that we can always look at the cross and allow to flow into our lives at any time. We sung earlier, grace and love like mighty rivers flowing incessant from above. And if you need help loving others around you, look again at the love of God at the cross of Christ. I love Amy Carmichael's writings, and she writes very succinctly in one of her stories. She says this: if love flows in, love will flow out. And then she says, let love flow in. Let the love of God flow into your life, and it will flow out to those around you. You know, as we come near the cross, we see that it's at the cross that Jesus says, just a few verses after this, it is done, it is finished. Our guilt is taken away. The victory is won. We can live in freedom, no longer carrying burdens into our week ahead. And as parents, it's all too easy to have burdens of guilt for things we wish we'd done better. Come to the cross. Come and receive freedom. Come and receive love afresh. Come and at the cross, we see we are family, family with God, and then we know how to treat others as family. At the cross, we realize we are forgiven, and so we can forgive, and all families need forgiveness to operate. At the cross, I realize I'm loved, and so I can love. At the cross, I realize the sacrifice that Jesus made for me, and it inspires me and empowers me to make sacrifices for others. So brothers and sisters, let's remember our mum. Let's remember our family, the spiritual family that Jesus has brought us into through his sacrifices, and let us love like Jesus does. Let us come near the cross. So you standing near the cross today, I want to invite you, draw near as we continue to worship. Do you need refreshing? Maybe particularly mums and those who care for others, you need refreshing today. I invite you, draw near the cross. Receive there the freedom and the love and the grace that you need. And we felt this week we particularly wanted to have our kind of prayer room as a place we could pray for mums and for others who are kind of caring for those around them, though, that they can come and receive refreshment. So if that's you, there's a link here on the screen. It's hobc.org.uk/prayer room. Anytime from now, you can go and receive prayer. And if you go in this kind of first part of our worship, you'll be back in time if you're watching this live and you want to be part of our worship room after that. But you know, all of us, as we just come now to worship, I invite you, draw near the cross. Maybe you want to bow your heads as the band just start playing, and let's come and receive again from God his love, his grace. Pause in this place of prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As we see you there on the cross, we say thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your grace. I receive your love. We receive your love, that you would empower us again from the overflow of your love to love those around us, in our immediate family, but also our church family. To love like you love, to love sacrificially. And thank you, Lord. We trust you to help us. And we praise your wonderful name. Amen.